Primatologist Jane Goodall, perhaps one of the great field researchers of all time, known for her meticulous study of the Gombe chimpanzees in Africa, had to be reminded of a hard lesson with her 2013 book, Seeds of Hope, You're Nothing But Your Notes. The book had to be pulled after it was pointed out that several passages were from websites. Now, Jane said she realized that in her notebooks, she'd often failed to distinguish between something she'd read and something she was told in an interview. Well, thankfully, the book has now been re-released because it is a treasure trove of stories that now have 57 pages of footnotes. Her plea for the plant world, from the secret trees that are thousands of years old to seeds hundreds of years old, including some stored in vaults carved in the side of a mountain on a remote island in Norway. The first botanists are here. They come off like Indiana Jones. There are foresters. One planted 26 trillion trees in his lifetime. And always, Jane's love of the plant world sparked as a child in England. And Jane Goodall joins us to talk about all of it from the studios of NPR in New York. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much.
And let's just address the borrowing. What happened?
You know, I wasn't paying enough attention to this. But, you know, I have to write my books between this crazy 300 days a year on the road. And I'm not terribly organized. But, you know, I'm actually really, really glad, looking back, because the book is much better now, and I was able to add some fantastic new material.
Well, it's how you view what's happening to plants around the world, but it's also part memoir. So just take us back there first to your love of plants and trees, especially since, as you point out, wait, you're the chimp lady.
Yeah, I'm the chimp lady, yes. Well, you know, my love of trees and plants began when I was a child. Growing up, we still have the house, and I love to climb my favorite tree in the garden, beech, who's still there now.
And you also demanded that your grandmother give it to you at one point, so there's a picture of the contract she wrote up giving you the tree.
Yeah, well, actually, I wrote it, and she signed it, and my mother kept it, so it's a very precious little document.
But what does that mean to you? You talk of feeling a special presence around trees. There's so many moments, leaning your cheek against them. What does that mean, that that tree is there?
Well, to me, trees are living beings, and they have their own sort of personalities. I'm not being scientific here. I'm just talking about the way it feels. There are the young, eager saplings, all striving with each other to get up above the canopy so that their leaves can get the full benefit of the sun. And if you put your cheek against one of those, you almost sense the sap rising and the sort of energy of that young tree. And then you get these incredible ancient beings who've, well, some of them have been on the earth for 2,000 years. And think what they've seen. You know, I've been in the redwoods in California, and I don't know, I just absolutely love trees.
You speak of your love of trees in an unscientific way, but you write about the science that is being gathered, that trees do communicate with each other, for instance.
I remember hearing about it when I was in one of the universities. If this tree is attacked by a horde of caterpillars, it puts out special chemical signals like pheromones, and then nearby trees of that species will add additional toxin to their leaves so that if they're invaded by the caterpillars, they have a better chance of withstanding them. Other trees communicate deep under the ground with little thread-like fungi on their root systems. It's even thought that an entire forest may be interconnected under the ground.
Well, David Rhodes is one of the scientists at the University of Washington who is part of this research in plant tree communication. There's another research team from Ben-Gurion University in Israel. They also talk about plants communicating. For instance, domestic pea plants that had terrible drought would alert somehow, nobody's quite sure, but maybe through the root systems would alert other plants. And what would the other plants do?
They adopt all the tactics that the drought peas adopt to prevent water loss. But then what's even just as fascinating is that when these plants who have learned how to react to drought are compared in drought conditions with a naive group of peas, those who've already learned how to react survive better.
You know, it's quite something, Jane Goodall, to read about your love, not only your love of, but now your knowledge of the plant world. And then to contrast that with young people that you've met, you started an organization, Roots and Shoots. It's around the world so that young people can start having the same experience. And yet we hear of a young girl in a prison. The prison starts to work with gardening for these young female inmates. And this young girl wonders if you can plant candy corn.
Yes.
I mean, there's such a distance between your knowledge and the knowledge today.
Well, and, you know, we really hope through this youth program that we can get a better understanding of the natural world. You know, one of the main emphasis is taking action. So choose a project that will help the environment. Choose a project that will help animals. Choose a project that will help people. And in that way, the young people learn the interconnection.
Well, there's a whole list to choose from. You catalog them, some of the things you are concerned about. There's the shrinking forests around the sanctuaries where you have some of your animals, chimpanzees.
What happened to me was a flight over Gombe National Park, which is very tiny. It's only 30 square miles. I knew there was deforestation outside the park, but I wasn't prepared to look down and see outside this oasis were bare hills. More people living there than the land could support. And so that's when I realized we can't even try to save the chimps and their forest if we don't improve the lifestyles of people. So we began working with the local villagers. And in the end, the villagers got together and put land aside in such a way that it forms a buffer around Gombe. And we also train forest monitors. So they take... it's very funny to think of people in remote villages using Android tablets, but that's what they're doing.
That's fascinating. They go around the forest, and what do they do on these tablets?
Well, if they find some place where a tree has been illegally cut or an animal has been shot, they press a little button, and this information flies up into these magical clouds that I hear about and is accessible, if anybody wants, all over the world.
Well, and you also tell the stories of heroic trees. There's no other way to put it. Trees that make themselves the symbol of why they should be saved. There's the one that survived the attack on the World Trade Center.
Well, I think the lovely thing about that story is that it was on its way to the dump. And then somebody said, look, it's still alive. We must give it a chance. And they nurtured it and nurtured it. It was nearly killed by Hurricane Sandy and rescued again and finally taken back to Ground Zero. Mm. And it's now a beautiful... I mean, everybody should go. And the tree is called Survivor. I've met her. She's beautiful.
Hmm. You've been traveling, carrying this message. Do you feel, a responsibility? You just are nonstop. What propels you?
Well, I think, you know, we come into this life with certain gifts. One of the gifts I was given was communication, so that, you know, people come to my lectures and listen, and they buy the books. And so that power of communication is something I feel it's really important to make the very maximum use of. I can. And as I get older, you know, I've just turned 80. So obviously I'm getting closer to the time when I will no longer be here. Maybe joining all these messages up on the clouds. I don't know. But anyway, you know, it becomes even more urgent.
Jane Goodall, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And at herenow.org, we'll link you to Jane's appearance this week on the Colbert Report. As Stephen said, she discovered chimps use tools, and yet it's illegal to have one build your deck. Her book is Seeds of Hope. It's written with Gail Hudson. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It is so great to hear from Jane Goodall on this program today. This is Here and Now.